This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all your mortgage needs. Their number is 720-895-0500. Always great to have the owner, Kurt Rogers, with us in studio. How are you, sir?
I am doing just fine. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good to see you. Any kind of weekly update a little bit, a few seconds?
Actually, we're starting to see some movement. For many of you, you'll watch out the unemployment numbers. There's two things that affect mortgage rates, and I've talked about them in the past. One of them is inflation, and one of them is unemployment. Well, the BLS, which is the Bureau of Labor Statistics, came out with about not too long ago, saying that they've hired all these people, which tells us that our unemployment rate's at 4.3. The problem is, if you just listen to that and think that's actually the truth, it over the history of it, it doesn't. The BLS, when they come out with a number, within 90 days, they are adjusting that number on average over 60% down.
Okay.
Which what that means is that the unemployment number is actually really higher than what they're stating. But unemployment is running anywhere from 4.3 to 4.5, 4.6. But the stock market is quite aware of that number. Now, the other number that's come out that's very favorably is our inflation numbers. We're down to 2% to 2.5%, which is where the Feds want to be. Mm. So what that means is we're starting to see, and over the last week, I've seen it the biggest, rates have started to move forward, going down. They're starting to lower. Instead of bouncing back up, they're coming down. You're going to find rates that are better now than they were a week ago. So it's important to kind of pay attention to this. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing your home, you're going to start to see it. I do not think you're going to see rates get down to 5% by the end of the year. They may make mid-fives, but I don't think you're going to see them get to 5%. Right. That might happen next year in 2027.
Okay. Are you seeing anything, real quick, in the advertising world that we need to make people aware of, are you seeing any ads where people are advertising some kind of ridiculous?
What a great question. You're going to see that for the next 12 months.
Really?
You're going to see people advertising rates that are just astronomically, they don't make sense. I saw one the other day, it's like 4.5 on a mortgage, and they make you believe it's a 30-year fix. Well, it's not. Mm-hmm. But what they also don't tell you is the APR. If you want to know how close that rate is really to a rate, read the fine print. What does your credit score have to be? Does it have to be a 760 or a 780? Are you doing an ARM or are you doing a 15-year fix? Are you putting 30 or 40% loan to value? All of those things come into play, but the APR, if it's more than a quarter of a percent higher than what they're advertising, they're building in a lot of costs. For example, the one I saw said 4.5, but the APR was 5.75, which means that's really what that's what you're supposed
and
to be.
And I tell you, I think that point right there, we could spend a show, because that's what's confusing to the public, isn't it?
It's misleading.
Yeah.
And we have a tendency, the media does that anyhow in a lot of different areas, but it misleads the consumer into believing something that's not true just to generate the phone call. Mm-hmm. And then they get mad and they figure, well, everybody's doing the same thing, so that's not necessarily true. Why would you have to do that to get people to come to you if you're providing the right service?
Right.
Because it's not always about that cheap, 4.5% where you're paying 2 or 3 points to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Again, Kurt Rogers is with us. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. All right, first-time home buyer. You have heard that term probably many times. At one point, you were a first-time home buyer. But sometimes that term can be misleading. Some people think that is actually what we mean. First time you've ever bought a house.
Incorrect.
Incorrect. All right.
What a first-time home buyer is, and the programs that are designed for first-time home buyer, or someone that hasn't owned a home, been on the title to a home in the last 36 months.
Okay.
So if you owned a home years ago and then you went back to renting and now you want to buy, you would be classified as a first-time home buyer. And the funny thing that's going on right now in the numbers that are coming out, as of January of 26, 31% of all new homes that are being sold are to first-time home buyers. It's one of the highest numbers we've had in a while. And I think there are several reasons for that. So those numbers are growing. Part of what you're seeing is the reasons are that the market has stabilized. Instead of homes appreciating at 5 or 6 or 7%, and a first-time home buyer having to compete with down payment money or anything to get into that, that's not necessarily the case. With rates dropping, it's now putting those payments even lower, and they're fixed. Unlike rent, where the landlord can tell you, A, you got to move, mm-hmm. or B, we're going to raise your rent, that payment's going to be fixed. And then there's specific programs designed for first-time home buyers that allows you to save money. I just closed a loan this morning on a customer that we did a couple years ago on a first-time home buyer. He got a rate of like 3.75, and his rate went up over the last 2 years to the 5. Now he's turned around, he's got a rate down at the 5.625. We just closed, so he's able to keep it. But he never got higher than that rate he had 2 years ago at 5.625.
Wow.
So there's programs out there for first-time home buyers that are very good.
And when you get into, and this is one thing about, you know, the growth of your company over the last couple of years, you got a lot of companies you can get with, and they have to be competitive with each other. So that's good for your customer.
I have quite a few lenders, and there's many of them that do different types of home buyer programs. One of the other reasons I think that the first-time home buyer is coming out there, the numbers are out, that proves that the net worth of somebody who owns a home versus renting a home is 44 times greater than if you rent. Your net worth in 20 to 30 years. So the one thing first-time home buyers are learning is it's not so much of, can I buy the home and have my payment the same or a little bit less when I'm renting. It's how much of that money goes to you in the form of net worth and your equity and the appreciation that you're earning. But there are several different types of first-time home buyer programs. There's one for conventional, and they normally require 3 to 5% down. FHA, if you're a first-time home buyer, they offer 3.5% down. VA requires none. If you're a veteran, even without being a first-time home buyer, you can buy a home with no money down. Seller can pay your closing costs. You can come to table with nothing. Mm. And the advantage of VA, if you have VA, it's something you should strongly look into because they have no monthly mortgage insurance. You don't have to bring any money to the table, and their debt-to-income ratios and credit score are much more flexible for first-time home buyer. And then there's a program out there called DPAs. We've all heard about them. They're down payment assistance programs. Right. There are over, and this number, when I was doing a little research on first-time home buyers, really kind of baffled me, but not so much. There are over 2,000 different types of down payment assistance programs. They come from state offers them. Cities have down payment assistance. Counties have down payment assistance if you get out to USDA outside the metro area. And then the national government has them. CHAFA, which is what many people have heard about, is one of the bigger ones. Mm-hmm. But there are 2,000. I am not a specialist in all 2,000.
Sure.
I don't know all of them. Right. I know several, but not many.
But some of the high points are, I mean, down payment assistance. There are some programs you've talked about in the past, if those are still current, where, the repayment can be really, really a good program.
When you're looking, the way a down payment loan is structured is you bring as minimum as, let's say, 3% down, or even at some point, 1%. So let's say you buy a $400,000 house and you bring $4,000 to the table. That's what you get into. But some of the programs that they have, though, the way it works is the other 3 or 5 or 6% that you need is given to you in the form of a gift as a DPA, and it can sit there as a repayable silent second mortgage. You don't make payments on it. It's not part of it. Or you can make payments on it. There's so many different type ways of setting it up. So it just sits there as a repayable or unrepayable. It's just a quiet second mortgage. The only time you have to deal with it is when you refinance the home or when you sell the home. Then it is called due.
Right. And there are several incentives in along with that.
Along with the down payment.
With the down payment.
There are quite a few incentives. First of all, conventional loans do what they call Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, have loan programs out to where they actually give you a break on the interest rate better than a normal purchaser of a home as a first-time home buyer. One of the restrictions for a first-time home buyer is you can actually make too much money. Everything called AMI, average monthly income, and how much money you make. If you make in excess of maybe $130 a year, down payment programs might not be available to you because they figure you have the cash.
Right.
It's more designed for those that are underneath the $100,000 figure. Making $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 still going to qualify you for that. The other fee is they have reduced fees. This way they keep your closing costs down. They have lower mortgage insurance to it because there's going to be mortgage insurance, so you're going to have the silent second. So those fees have been reduced. Again, the lenders in the city and the county and the states understand that they need to keep the payments low to get you started. Mm-hmm. That's where the 2-1 buy-down comes in. So these programs were all designed to help you. And then the last one is you get an advantage of maybe some tax credits when you purchase a home and the interest that you pay on the home. That's something you have to see your CPA.
Right.
But you get special credits for being a first-time home buyer for taxes.
Mm-hmm. And then also, I think you mentioned on a different show, but lower mortgage insurance?
Lower mortgage insurance.
Okay.
Mortgage insurance is something that pays the bank in case you don't pay. They're going to pay the bank off. It's
right.
An insurance policy. Sometimes that can be another $125 to $150 a month. Normally that's cut in half or even smaller on first-time home buyers because, again, they're trying to keep everything into a range that you can afford to buy it.
Sure.
Because they understand the benefit to it.
Right. Again, Kurt Rogers with us. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We're going to hit a quick break. More coming right back.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you've been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people view the evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one who's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals whom you don't know and were witnesses to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886.
Need new glasses fast? With Stack Optical's on-site lab, you'll get your prescription glasses in just 3 to 4 days. No long wait times. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I've trusted my eye care to Allen Stack and Stack Optical for the last 15 years. Eye exams are only $69, and that should be a part of your physical checkups each year. For over 50 years, Denver has trusted this family-owned boutique eye care center for premium vision care, custom eyewear, and expert repairs. See the Stack Optical difference today. Call 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578 and tell them Scott sent you. Stack Optical. Since 1968, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
This is KLZ 560 AM, your home station.
Welcome back to Your Money Matters. My name is Scott Watley. If you're just joining us, Kurt Rogers is with us. We're talking about first-time home buyers. Hey, there's a lot of advantages out there. Kurt can help you if you are a first-time home buyer. And now you know what that means. Hey, you haven't been on a title in the last 3 years, all right? Not literally your first time to buy a home. Kurt can help you. A lot of programs are out there. And, Kurt, one thing we talk about, you know, I mean, down payment is probably the first thing people think about. And so I don't know what the term would be if someone gives you a gift, I guess gift money. So how does that work when someone doesn't have the money and they need to get that Does that have to be noted as a gift? Whatever you work out with the person is, you know, whatever. But
the banks will allow what they call gift funds to a loan. The maximum that can be is 6%. So anybody giving you gift money, whether it's coming from the seller, coming from your buyer's agent, they can go to as much as 6% of the purchase price of the house.
Okay.
So if it's $400,000 house, 6% of that's $24,000. Now, that can't be the down payment. They can give it to you in the form of a down payment. If they happen to own the home you're wanting to buy, they can give you a gift of equity in excess of that.
Okay.
So if there's equity in the house, they can gift that to you. That becomes a tax advantage down the road that you're not necessarily liable for. But gift funds normally have to come from family. And what I mean by that is mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, and or grandparent can give you gift funds, or the investors can, or the seller of the property can give you gift funds. One other way that people do it is, and this young man that I did a couple years ago, as a gift to his son had everything he needed, but his income was a little slow or a little weak, and he didn't qualify on the ratios. So what happened, Dad came in and co-signed for him as a non-occupying co-borrower. Now, I've done many of those, and that works really well for a lot of reasons. For example, if your child is going to college and you want to buy them a condo instead of having them be on the campus, you can get them a property, put their name on the title even though they don't qualify using your income, and it becomes a non-occupying co-borrower. The advantage to that is when 2 or 3 or 4 years go past, by the time the child's out of college, you can either then turn it into a rental, refinance it into the child's name, just in their name only, or sell it and you've made that money. So that's a great way to get started for a first-time home buyer.
All right, let's take some questions that you may ask somebody. And that first-time home buyer, what are a few things that people need to look at? Maybe they've been renting for a long time. They've never done this, and literally the first-time home buyer. What would be a few questions you would ask?
One of the first questions I get from most first-time home buyers is, what are my payments? First-time home buyer might be looking at they're paying $2,400 now or $2,800 a month in rent. Well, what are my new payments going to be? And I can tell them a payment of, okay, your payment's $2,400 for the loan of X. But in a mortgage payment, there's more to the mortgage payment than just the principal and interest payment. There's taxes and homeowner's insurance. So what the first-time home buyer is looking for is, what's my total payment? So you need to understand so when you're asking what's my total payment going to be on a home, make sure that includes taxes and homeowner's insurance and HOA, if there's an HOA. If you're looking at a condo, townhome. What we're seeing right now is a lot of first-time home buyers who will go out and think that they're going to get a better deal on a townhome or a condo because they're less expensive. They have a thing over here called HOA that single-family homes don't always have, and it's pretty stout. I've seen them at $300 to $600 a month for HOAs. So a townhome might not be the one you want to buy. You might want to look at a single family because you don't have that as far as your payment. So you need to know what makes up. And you need to understand when you're buying a home that now if something breaks in it, like you have a garbage disposal that goes out, it's all yours. Those are things that we want to make sure you have a reserve, and that's where your debt-to-income ratio comes in.
And what percent would you say, for the most part, you never want to go over how much of your take-home pay for a mortgage payment?
I'm going to tell you what the financial experts tell you.
Then you can tell me what you suggest.
I'm going to tell you what reality is. The financial experts will tell you they want your first payment, meaning your mortgage payment, needs to be 33% of what your gross income is. So take a payment of $2,400 divided by your income. That should not exceed 33%. Add all your other bills to that, meaning which credit card bills, car payments, and the back end should not be higher than 43. Those are idealistic. The lender will approve you quickly on those. Reality is we're seeing front end payments 45 to 48% and back end payments total at 55%.
Right.
And they'll still classify and they'll still give you all the special programs that come with a first-time homebuyer using those rates. Mm-hmm. But that's more of a reality. I think if you're closer to 45-50, 45 front, 50 on the back, that fits pretty well.
Right.
Because understand, when you're making that payment, anywhere from $300 to $600 every time you make a payment is basically going into equity. Because you're paying the loan down, you're just putting it in the bank like a savings account. So a lot of it's yours.
Right. And you don't want to be, I think a term we've all used through the years is house poor.
No.
Where, you know, how's the yard looking? Do you need to put some grass in there? Do you need to do some landscaping or want to do? Do you need some drapes and curtains and furnishings and whatever? Because, man, and then when those emergencies hit, I mean, for all of us, I don't care how old you are, it's a bummer, man, when something big goes out.
I don't know. You know, I started out, my first home was 1977, so it was considerably cheaper and all of that coming together. My payments were around 40% of my income, but I was in the military, so it was pretty well fixed.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't make extra money.
Right.
So.
Now, let's talk about the process. And again, I want to really hit this first-time home buyer. They've never done it before. They've never even filled out an application to get approved. How does that start? How's that process?
I understand when you go to get a loan on a mortgage, there's some questions that they're going to ask going to be pretty intense. What they want to prove is your stability and ability. Are you stable in your employment? Are you stable in where you live? If you're bouncing jobs every 6 months for the last 4 years, different types of jobs, that's not something that's showing stability. So those are some of the things you have to understand going in. They're going to ask for a complete application. So they're going to want a history of your job and a history of where you've lived. They're going to want to see you have money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand there's down payment programs, but there needs to be something in the bank. Having a bank account with $12 in it is not really justifiable to a mortgage company to give a loan out if there's, and you only want to put 1% down. you're making an uphill battle. But you're going to need to fill out the documentation. And then we're going to need to see the documentation. You may say, I do this and I do that. If you don't give me the documentation, that's a prequal. Prequal just tells you roughly from what you've told me, here's what your payments are. If you give me the documentation, which will streamline the process, I can tell you exactly what you can qualify for. Then you determine if it fits.
And that's what realtors want.
They want a pre-approval.
Pre-approval.
Not a prequel. Yeah. They won't spend any time with you on a prequel. Mm-hmm. If you can't give them a document that says that a lender like myself has gone through and had an underwriter look at that documentation and say, yes, we will do a loan for you at this price with this payment as long as the house appraises at what you estimate.
Right. And those are good for?
90 days.
Okay.
So if you're looking and you're thinking about you want to get into the market or just get an idea that you might be wanting to do it in a year, my recommendation is to start now.
Mm-hmm.
If you come in and you get, I have several pre-approvals on my desk, so as the market changes, people say, okay, I found the house, I'm ready to go. And it saves them so much more time because a pre-approval is like a blank check. When you go to a realtor and hand them the pre-approval, that's like telling them, I'm good for $400,000, I can buy.
Right.
So they're going to look at you, especially in today's in a buyer's market, you're going to have a lot more power.
Mm-hmm. And when they say, then what's my minimum down payment, that depends on the program, so it's hard to know that until you really find out that right loan, right?
Yeah. I just off the top of the head, somebody says, well, I only want to put $1,000 down. Understand, I'm not saying I can't get you that loan, but you're making it very difficult if you're only putting $1,000 because the lender says if you don't have enough money to put into the home, how are you going to take care of something if it breaks?
Mm-hmm.
And then if it breaks and you don't fix it, it falls back on the lender if you don't make payments. So there's a reason they want you to put at least 3% down. Shows that you have some risk involved in the game.
Right.
Because 3% on $400,000 is $12,000.
Sure.
You got $12,000 as a first-time home buyers. That's a good start.
Kurt Rogers with us, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. I just kind of thought about this when you were talking about, you got a rate that's good. I mean, you got an approval that's good for 90 days. Haven't really found a house yet. But, man, a really good rate comes in, and you think, boy, we should lock that. Do you ever lock a rate before you find a home?
can't.
Okay.
You cannot lock a rate because the rate has to be tied to a house.
Okay.
It's like if you look at an FHA home, you want to get an FHA loan. That appraisal in that FHA, whether you do it with that lender or me, is the same appraisal. If I don't like the appraisal, I can't get another FHA appraisal. I can on conventional, but I can't on FHA. So there's things that come into play when you're locking rates and doing that, that you need to make sure you have the right information in.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about closing costs? How do you explain that to a first-time home buyer? What can be the range in that?
In most cases, I've talked about this many times, $3,500 to $4,500.
Okay.
Now, and the main things you're paying for there is title, which is reduced fees because you're a first-time home buyer. Sometimes you can waive the appraisal, but there's an appraisal fee, there's an underwriting fee to the lender, which is normally cut in half. And then you have what's called escrows. You have to pre-fund your escrow accounts, which are your homeowner's insurance. You have to pay for that up front. So that's in addition to the cash down. That has to be paid for at the loan.
Mm-hmm. Now, bankruptcy, it happens sometimes. There are so many myths out there that, oh, boy, you never want to do that. You'll never own a car. You'll never own a house. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Actually, it almost becomes easier sometimes.
Yeah, right.
There's two types of bankruptcies, Chapter 7, Chapter 13. I have had people buy homes that have been in the Chapter 13 for 6 months. Somebody will tell you have to wait 4 to 7 years. No. On a Chapter 7, you have to wait 4 to 7 years. Chapter 7 is a little more difficult, but you can still get it done at 2 years.
Okay.
Chapter 13, I can do it right away. Because in a 13, you've set yourself up on a payment plan. As long as you've made that payment plan, the banks will look at you for a refinance with down payment assistance.
Mm. Oh, really?
There are programs that can help you out. Because you never know what caused that bankruptcy.
Sure.
Company could have went out of business. It wasn't your fault.
Right.
And what are you doing? So you've reestablished yourself. You found another job. You're making the payments to the bankruptcy. Yeah, so it will stay on your record for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it will affect your score and the ability to buy 6 months on a 13, two years on a 7.
Right. Folks, Kurt can help you out. If this is the first time you've heard the show, Kurt has been our exclusive mortgage lender since we started Haystack back in 2009, okay? He can help you. Has helped us personally, folks from my church, lots of KLZ listeners. And Kurt is happy to spend as much time as it takes to sit down, look at your individual situation, see what program is good for you. And he'll be glad to help you. You just have to call him at 720-895-0500. Kurt, your disclosure, sir?
NMLS 217-147. We are regulated by DORA and an equal credit lender.
Yes, you are. We appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. Don't go anywhere. More coming back right here on KLZ 560.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Looking for great deals on hunting, fishing, camping, or shooting gear? Then make your next stop the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hamden in Sheridan. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and listen, whether you're buying or selling, you'll find quality new and pre-owned outdoor gear for hunting, fishing, and camping at prices that you won't believe. From firearms and optics to fishing tackle, camping gear, and more, there's always something new to discover. Stop by the Outdoorsman's Attic and see why Colorado sportsmen keep coming back. Tell Billy Scott sent you, and you'll get the Sportsman of Colorado Radio discount on all hunting and fishing gear, excluding firearms. Colorado's largest consignment store for the outdoors. It's the Outdoorsman's Attic, where the outdoors begins and the adventure continues.
How much do you need to lower your monthly mortgage payment? $200, $300, $400 or more? As rates decline, take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Over 24 years of saving Coloradans money. Low rates, lower payments, less costs. What makes us different is we listen. As an independent mortgage broker, we shop the top lenders to save you the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Want to purchase your next home? You can't qualify unless you sell your current home? Let us show you how to get the down payment out of your current home, qualify for the new one, and then sell yours for the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. So you want to buy a home. Let us show you loans that can save you money, low down payment, first-time home buyer specials, fixed rates in the fours with buy-downs. Call for details, 720-895-0500, or apply now at AIMortgage.net. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. Regulated by DORA, NMLS, 217-147, Equal Credit Lender.
This is 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome to Medicare and More with Jim Gary, brought to you by Silver Sherpa Inc. Just like a Sherpa guides climbers up the mountain, Jim is here to be your trusted guide up Mount Medicare. With years of experience and a heart for helping people, Jim makes the confusing world of Medicare simple and clear. Each week, we'll bring you tips, insights, and answers to your questions so you can make confident decisions about your health care. Now it's Medicare and More with your host, Scott Whatley, and your guide up Mount Medicare, Jim Gary.
And we'd like to welcome you to Medicare and More. My name is Scott Whatley. We thank you for being with us. Sherpa123.com. Look, just write that down right now. I'm going to give you a second if you're not driving, okay? Write that down right now. Get signed up for one of the upcoming educational workshops this month brought to you by Silver Sherpa. Their number, 303-865-5534. Jim Gary, the owner, joins us once again. Jim, good to see you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. From the world headquarters Silver Sherpa Inc.
Yes, sir.
Right here in Colorado.
Right here. Can't beat this for a world headquarters, for sure. Yeah, and Jim, we laugh because a client actually was called Jim from the show and just said, hey, before we get started, what I want to talk to you about, where is your world headquarters?
Exactly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And over here, you know, most of you know where IKEA is. As Jim says, his office is in the shadows of that sign, so close by.
And we're always quick to point out, too, you know, when we do these workshops, which we'll get to in a minute or two, we do them in a pretty big geographical area.
Yeah, you do.
We go as far south as Castle Rock, as far north as Arvada, Boulder area. Mm-hmm. So we're covering a lot of people in between. And we always tell people at the end of the workshop that our offices, our world headquarters, as you call it, is on 9200 East Mineral Avenue in Centennial, shadow of the IKEA building. That's our main office. However, we have branch offices all over the area. They're called your kitchen table.
Right.
So if you want us to come to you, we'll sit down at your kitchen table and help you make the right decision on your Medicare. Because some people, you know, we don't want there to be a barrier of, well, yeah, you're here tonight, you're in Arvada, we don't want to drive all the way down. No worries, no objection.
Sure.
We'll come to you. And we enjoy that because a lot of times we're sitting there in the living room and they bring something up. We need some documentation. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me go into my medical file and pull out that prescription so you can see how much it costs, that kind of thing. So when we say we're willing to come to you, we actually like to come to you because sometimes things come up unexpectedly that we need to have documentation of. And if you're in your home, it's always easier to dig it out.
Right. Does it shock you sometimes what you see on some of these prescription costs?
Well, Dylan and I, Dylan Knopf is the other broker here at Silver Sherpa Inc., and we always tell people at the workshops that when you transition to Medicare, you are going to find out that Medicare Part D is, I call it a ripoff. Consumers are getting ripped off when you're on Medicare drug coverage, and Dylan calls it a joke, and it truly is. Mm-hmm. It truly is. Now, there have been improvements made over the last couple of years with negotiating, because I know one of the big complaints you heard about it really started with Trump's first term, Trump being the master negotiator, right?
Sure.
He would always say, can you believe that the government set up a prescription drug program? And by the way, Medicare didn't cover drugs until George W. Bush, 2006. But when he set up Part D coverage, he set it up so that the Part D, the manufacturers, Medicare wasn't allowed to negotiate with the manufacturers. Whatever the manufacturer said a drug cost, that's what they got to charge Medicare recipients. And so it's been a ripoff since day one. It truly has. Mm. So the costs of drugs on Medicare, even for some generics,
right,
are just they're mind-boggling. So I'm glad you started with Part D coverage, because a couple of years ago, the Medicare, there's only five companies that offer Part D plans in Colorado. And if you're going on to Medicare, the only way to get drug coverage, unless you're a veteran, you can get it through the VA. But if you're just a traditional non-veteran trying to get drug coverage and you're transitioning to Medicare, the only way to do that is through Medicare Part D. And when you're on a Medicare Part D plan, there's only five companies that do it. United Healthcare, Humana, Aetna, Cigna recently rebranded, for those that don't know. They're now called HealthSpring.
Oh, okay.
Can you believe that? You have this company that's been around 200 years, and their executives get around the table and said, you know, Cigna, everyone's heard of that for 200 years. Let's change the name. What do you say, guys? So now they're called HealthSpring. So now when we talk to people about HealthSpring, I'm not going to go with a startup. No, it's Cigna, okay? Anyway, HealthSpring and a company called WellCare, WellCare. Those are the only five companies that offer Part D drug coverage. And they offer two plans each, approximately. There's 10 different plans. That's it. Now, if you get a Part C Medicare Advantage plan, most of the C plans have D coverage built into it. So okay. There's another way to get D coverage, but again, it's through Medicare, C and D. Okay, anyway, back to D. A couple of years ago, the Part D companies decided, we're done paying commissions to brokers. We're over it, so we don't want to pay them anymore. And so they don't want us signing people up for D coverage. So you can imagine when insurance companies, sort of like OPEC, a cartel, they're cartels. They're cartels controlling drug plans. When they get together and say they're not paying brokers, brokers respond by telling their customers, we're not helping you. Why are we going to help you get a Part D drug plan when we don't get paid to do it? So most brokers no longer help people with drug plans. Dylan and I knew instantly that was going to happen and that we wouldn't go down that path. We made a decision quickly that we don't care if we're getting paid for it or not. Our philosophy is this: if you trust us, we're helping you climb Mount Medicare.
Right.
If you trust us climbing up Mount Medicare, we're going to help you with every facet of that journey, whether we get paid on it or not. It sounds altruistic, but it's really not, and here's why. When we're making recommendations for healthcare coverage, we have to know your medications. And so it informs us about what the best way to go for you is on the healthcare side, number one. Number two, if we leave you to make your own decisions on the drug coverage, you could make a mistake that could cost you, and I'm not exaggerating, tens of thousands of dollars. If you're taking certain meds and you're on the wrong drug plan, that decision can cost you tens of thousands of dollars. Now, I've had other brokers tell me, I've heard you say that before, Jim, on the radio, and you're exaggerating. It's impossible to spend tens of thousands of dollars on Medicare prescription drug coverage because there's a max out of pocket now. This year, it's $2,100. Which just underscores for me how ignorant other brokers are. And this broker, I said that broker, you're not helping people anymore with Part D, are you? He said, no, I don't have to. There's a max out of pocket at $2,100. I can sleep easy at night knowing that the most people are going to have to spend for their drugs is $2,100. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't tell him this. I said, well, good. You've made your decision. I've made mine. I'm helping. But what he didn't know, because he didn't take the time to educate himself, was the only way you're capped at $2,100 is if the drugs that you take are on the formulary of your plan. Each plan has a formulary, a list of drugs they cover.
Right.
And the only rule Medicare has for the drug company is you must cover at least two drugs in every therapeutic class of treatment. So if somebody has Parkinson's, you've got to have two Parkinson's drugs on your formulary. You don't have to have every Parkinson's drug on the market, just two. So what if you're a Parkinson's patient and you go to a broker who has decided, I'm not helping you with drug coverage because I don't get paid for it. And I'm going to do the lazy thing. I'm not going to educate myself. I'm going to just say to you, hey, Parkinson's drugs are expensive, which they are. No matter which drug you take, you're going to end up spending $2,100 and be capped out. So just take the cheapest Part D plan. And there's two plans that are zero a month. Mm-hmm. Get a $0 a month plan, pay $2,100 for your Parkinson's drugs, and you'll be a happy camper. Guess what? The Parkinson's drugs, some of the Parkinson's drugs are not listed on the $0 drug plan's formulary. So if you sign up for that $0 plan during open enrollment, annual enrollment, October 15th to December 7th, when you go to the pharmacy in January to get your Parkinson's drug, and they say to you, give us $12,000, no exaggeration, that's what some Parkinson's drugs cost for a one-month supply, and you say, oh, no, sorry, Mr. Pharmacist, you must have forgotten, Medicare has a max out-of-pocket of $2,100 for drugs. And the pharmacist says to you, well, that's only if the drug is on your formulary. The plan you're on doesn't list that drug on formulary, so you have to pay full price.
Wow.
So your $2,100 max just went to $12,000 a month times 8, just went to $96,000 because you had a broker who was unwilling to help you because they didn't make a commission on Part D drug coverage. So Dylan and I are going to help you. That's the bottom line on that story. It's a big deal. Don't be sold on. There's free plans and there's a max out of pocket. It matters getting professional help for your D drug coverage.
Mm-hmm. Do you get the question in your workshops where somebody may raise their hand and say, what if you're not on any medications?
Yes.
I don't want to get D.
Great. Yeah, great question. So first of all, Medicare does have a rule. It's not really a law because they can't enforce it. They can't enforce it legally, but they can enforce it financially. What is that regulation? That regulation is when you go off of your work coverage onto Medicare or you turn 65 and straight to Medicare, you have to sign up for Part D coverage. You have to get a Part D plan either on its own or through Part C. You have to get D coverage. If you don't, they're going to penalize you. It's called an LEP, late enrollment penalty. Here's how it works. If you don't get drug coverage through Medicare when you should, eventually a time will come when you're older and you, all of a sudden a doctor hits you with a big drug. It's expensive. You're like, now I need D. So it's age 72, you try to get a Part D plan, and Medicare looks at you and says, where have you been since 65? And you say to Medicare, well, for the last 7 years, I haven't taken any meds, so I saved you the headache. I didn't sign up for a Part D plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for those 7 years, Medicare is going to say, guess what? 7 years is 84 months. You're now going to pay an 84% surcharge, 1% per month, for each month you went without Part D that you should have had it. And not just, it's not a 7-year penalty, it's a lifetime penalty. So you're going to pay an 84% surcharge on Part D for the rest of your life because you decided you were too smart to get a Part D plan. And oh, by the way, at least this is calendar year 2026, and for the last 4 years here in Colorado, there has been at least one $0 Part D plan on the market. So you could have gotten free Part D coverage and met your mandate. Wow. Instead, you're paying 84%. Surcharges the rest of your life. That's how they enforce you better get drug coverage.
Yeah. Wow, a lot to know.
Yeah.
You're listening to Medicare and More. Jim Gary is with us. He is the owner of Silver Sherpa. Once again, their number, 303-865-5534. To attend one of their educational workshops, all you have to do is go to Sherpa123.com, click on events there, find a library and location that is close for you or the timing works good for you, and please sign up. And Jim, what are some dates here for August?
Yeah, so I'm just looking at the calendar here. So we're breaking in a new library this month. So if you guys in and around Lone Tree, make us proud and fill the room up. Guess what? You might get a second one, but we're starting Lone Tree on the 22nd of August. It's a Saturday morning, 10:15 a.m. Now, the Lone Tree Library, that for those that don't know, it's referred to as Ridgegate, the general area. The big landmark, I would say, is the Super Target store. That's where the Lone Tree Library is. It's you can see the Target store from the Lone Tree Library in the Ridgegate area. I-25 in Lincoln is the nearest sort of cutoff there. 10:15 in the morning. It's Saturday. Now, the 24th, the following Monday, 4 o'clock, Coble Library, Holly and Orchard. 25th, Stanley Lake Library, way up north. Stanley Lake Library is in Arvada, 4 p.m. on the 25th of August. The 27th of August is a Thursday evening, 4 p.m., Castle Rock Library. That's on Wilcox. And then on the 29th, Saturday morning, 9:30, the Columbine Library. Now, we're strategic how we do the times. Let me just explain all the 4 o'clocks. So most brokers do them at 6. Mm-hmm. We experimented with 6, and we had some hit-and-miss crowds. The reason we like the 4 o'clock time, especially in the summer, is a lot of people like to sneak out a little early to get a barbecue started during the summer. So we don't want to interfere with your 6, 6:30, or 7 o'clock barbecue. So sneak out even earlier, okay, punch out a little early that day, come to the workshop at 4, we'll have you out of there in time for your barbecue, and you'll be able to talk about Medicare all during your barbecue.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. That's why we do it. Now, the weekends are obvious. You want to come out on the weekend, it's because you're not encumbered by work. You come out first thing in the morning, you learn all about Medicare, there's a bunch of like-minded people there. And again, these are all free educational workshops that you have to register for either by calling our office, 303-865-5534, or go straight to our website, Sherpa123.com, and that would be the events page. At the very bottom of the events page is a link that says current workshops. You click that link, find the date, you sign up, and we'd love to see you.
All right, good deal. All right, let's kind of work through your last half of the year, things you have upcoming, October 15th, you previously mentioned, and through December 7th is what?
It's called Annual Enrollment Period, AEP. And by the way, I always lose track of time. How are we? Where are we at?
We got about 13 minutes. We're
okay,
good.
Okay, good. We're halfway. Okay, great. Okay, so AEP is called the Annual Enrollment Period for Medicare. Let me tell you what that means first. That means that anyone who's already on a Medicare Advantage plan, which is called Part C of Medicare, or a Medicare prescription drug plan, Part D of Medicare, anyone who has a C plan or D plan can change their plan during that 7-week period. Well, why would they want to change their plan? Well, because the last week in September each year, your Part C company or your Part D company that you're with is going to send you a proposal that says this is what we're doing to our plan January 1 of this upcoming year, in this case 2027. That proposal is called an ANOC, A-N-O-C.
Okay.
That stands for Annual Notice of Change. And it's a Medicare required form, and it's exactly what it says. They notify you on a side-by-side spreadsheet. This is what your plan looks like this year, the cost of the plan, the deductible, the co-pays, and this is what it's going to be the upcoming year. So if you go across 26 to 27 and you like what you see, oh, the plan is still zero. There's no cost for the plan. Oh, my deductible is the same. Oh, my drugs are still covered. No reason to do anything. As long as they're offering you coverage next year, it auto-renews. But more than likely, especially if you're on a Part C plan, a Medicare Advantage plan, you're going to be looking at your prospectus for next year and saying, whoa, they never charged for the plan before. It's going from zero to $21 a month. Deductible? I never had a copay. So there might be shocking changes to your. And by the way, this is all hypothetical.
Sure.
The plans don't get released until very late in September. I don't have any insider knowledge other than to tell you there will probably be less attractive Medicare Advantage plans year over year next year.
Okay.
Because of the funding. There's less fun. There's, I shouldn't say less, there's not enough funding of the Medicare Advantage plans to compensate for two things, inflation and overutilization. So the inflation and overutilization is more than overcoming the little money additional that was thrown at the plan. So I believe most Medicare Advantage plans are going to be less attractive next year. When you get your ANOC, you're going to be like, ooh, I don't want this plan anymore. Well, that's what Sherpa's here for. Jim and Dylan are standing by to help all of our existing clients and any new clients that want to reach out to us do a side-by-side comparison of the other plans that are being offered in the market compared to the plan that you're on now that you don't like anymore. Now, when you reach out to us, we're not magicians. We're simply going to do an honest, thorough review of your existing plan, compare it to all of the plans that are being offered in the upcoming year, and tell you many cases, you know what? I get it. Your plan doesn't look as good. it's still the best plan for you.
Okay.
So thanks for reaching out to us, but just stay put. Look us up next year.
Right.
And we'll tell you that if we have to. Now, many times we say, you know what? You're right. Your plan did get worse. And while the other plans got a little worse too, there's still other plans we think are a better fit for you than the one you're on now. So let us compare them side by side. Here's two alternatives to your existing plan. Mm-hmm. Because we asked you for and you gave us a list of your doctors, your medications, your lifestyle habits. Do you travel a lot? Are you a snowbird? All those things that matter. We're able to tell you for a fact that these two plans that we're offering as alternatives are perfect lifestyle fits for you. So you don't have to worry about the networks or travel coverage or anything like that. We've worked out all those details. And if you like one of these two plans, we'll help you sign up for it. If you're our existing client, you'll remain our client. If we've never worked with you before, you'll become our client once we enroll you in that new
right.
plan. Yep. That's how the process works.
And man, what an advantage to have somebody just year after year that you know you're just going to look at stuff. We don't have to worry about it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's huge to me.
You know, and that's one thing at the workshops that people say all the time, because we're very upfront about commissions. We tell people how the commissions work, the commission hustles, the scams that are going on. And one of the big concerns people have, and it's a very intelligent question if you think about it, because we always tell them what the first year commission is and why so many brokers are pushing Medicare Advantage plans, because they're much higher commission products than the supplements. So this year, 2026, the new to Medicare, if you're signing up for a Medicare Advantage plan for the first time, your broker, whether it's me or any other broker here in Colorado, your broker will make $694 commission that first year, $694. And they always ask the same thing. Very good question. Is that your only commission, or do you get renewal commissions throughout the years? The unspoken concern is, if that's your only commission, you're going to dump us at the end of the first year. So it's a very intelligent question. The answer is yes. If your brokers do get paid renewal commissions, if you remain with your broker. But if you don't like their service, if they don't reach out to you, if you're not getting good service from them and you go to a new broker, then the new broker takes over the commission.
Okay.
So if you want to fire your broker because you don't like their service, just know as soon as you sign up, you can't just go to a new broker and say, become my broker. You have to actually sign up for a new plan with that broker for them to truly become your broker.
Okay.
Okay.
Do they have to contact their previous broker?
No. Nope.
Once they sign with you, then that broker is automatically notified.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, here's the notification. It's not that they get a letter in the mail saying, oh, by the way, so-and-so just signed up with Silver Sherpa. It's they either get a charge back on their commission.
Okay.
Okay. Oops. We paid you $694. We're taking some of it back because your policy, you know, somebody he went somewhere else. Or you look for your renewal commission and it says you look for the person's name and you're
it's not there.
Where did Joe Smith go?
Right.
And you called Joe and Joe's like, oh yeah, sorry. And now you're calling me. Have a good day. Click.
What's reasonable to expect from your broker from service standpoint?
Well, I would say this. First of all, if they're not spending several hours with you when they first sign you up for a plan, they're cutting corners. Because there's a lot to learn about somebody the first time you get to know them. I would say the average investment for our clients the first time around, first enrollment, is 3 hours, sometimes four, depending on how many drugs they have, medications, and what their concerns are. But on an ongoing basis, your broker, when you reach out to them for whatever question you're asking them, if they don't get back to you within 24 hours, now my rule here internally is same business day, unless it's obviously 4:30 in the afternoon.
Sure.
And we even might do it then, but I'm just saying generally within 24 hours, if you're hearing back from your broker 2, 3, 4 days later, then they're either too busy or they're too busy playing golf. One or the other.
Right.
Okay, too busy with our clients or too busy playing golf. So you should expect some really quick turnaround time. Number two, although you're truly engaging them to help you get a Medicare Advantage supplement, drug plan, a Medicare, an insurance product, okay? And it might end up being Medicare and more, M-O-R-E, more. Mm-hmm. It could be an annuity. It could be long-term care, dental, vision. There's many, many insurance policies we can help you get. So although, yes, that's what you're engaging them for, to help you select the best plan, the most suitable plan, the most affordable plan, all of those things. You also have a right to expect them to do things they don't get paid commissions on. And this is what fries me about so many brokers, is that they will tell people, for example, that are being impacted by the IRMAA, the IRMA income surcharge. Mm-hmm. For those that don't know, quickly, in two sentences or less, Medicare is not a flat amount. When you go on to Medicare, you'll pay the government $202.90 per month or more, possibly a lot more. They base it on your tax return from 2 years ago. So sometimes people have a right to appeal, file an appeal for their IRMA, I-R-M-A-A, income related monthly adjustment amount.
Right.
And there's a couple of ways we can do that for you. Now, technically, the form you fill out is your responsibility, you, the Medicare beneficiary.
Okay.
Okay? It's not our job. It's paperwork that Medicare is making you fill out. But we tell our clients, do not fill it out yourself. You have to fill it out within 60 days. And if you get it wrong, you're going to lose your appeal. We will do that for you. And we can take 20 minutes, a half hour, 45 minutes, walking people through how to fill the form out. It's a four-page form, line by line by line, what to say, how to say it, when to say it, and that where to turn it into or how to fax it in. So anyway, I believe you. I know some brokers are going to argue and say, no, that's not our job, Jim. We're not government employees. Have them go to Social Security and Medicare. Have you ever tried to get an answer? I apologize to the government employees listening. Have you ever tried to get a straight answer, a consistent answer, right, the same answer from two different government employees? I have. I don't trust the system.
Right.
So anyway, the one that's listening to the program right now, the government employee, is the good one, given the right answer. It's the other one that's not listening that we don't trust. Right, Scott?
Right.
Okay,
right.
Cool. But that's if there's government forms. We're very skilled on filling out those government forms. I've mentioned the one on the show before, the one that proves employer coverage. Mm-hmm. We're going to show you how to have the employer fill it out. And when the employer does fill it out, you're going to send it to us. We're going to proof it to make sure it is accurate so that Medicare accepts it when it eventually gets turned in. So you have a right to expect that.
Right.
And throughout the year, if anything major happens to the Medicare system or your coverage, you should expect to hear from your broker throughout the year.
All right.
Not a lot, but
sure.
And you should expect to at least get something by email or by regular mail. Open your mailbox once a month is my feeling.
Okay.
There's got to be a touch point at least once a month.
Yep. Hey, give them a call. Sign up for one of the workshops. I really want to really just get you to do that. Folks, look, they're free of charge. All the services with Medicare that Jim offers is free of charge to you. All right. As Jim has clearly stated, they get paid from insurance companies. This is a no-brainer. All right. I know we've used idiot proof. I know we used no-brainer. So I'm telling you, look, this should be very simple for you. If you listen to this show 5 minutes today, you can see Jim knows what he's talking about. And don't leave this to chance. Don't make a mistake on this. It can be very, very expensive, as Jim clearly stated earlier. So once again, the number 303-865-5534 to sign up for one of the workshops. Simply go to Sherpa123.com, click on events there, and find a location and time that works for you and get signed up. And once again, Jim can help you with a few other things. And maybe next week we'll touch on a few more of the more things in our show, Medicare and more, that Jim can help you with as well. So, Jim, as always, appreciate your time.
Thank you, Scott.
And look forward to our show next week. Thanks for being with us today for Medicare and More.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.